Did you come to church this morning prepared to worship?
Yes.
Praise God. Say something good to Him. A word of thanksgiving. I invite you to take your hymnal. And I want you to turn to page 2. Page 2. How early in the morning did you get up? How early this morning did you get up?
4:30.
4:30. All right. Page 2 is considered probably one of the great hymns of the church. Post-Reformation, during the 1700s, 1800s, a lot of great hymns were written. And this is one of them. I invite you to stand this morning, and we're going to read the first verse of this, and we're going to read it together in unison. Page 2. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, comes from Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. The first verse together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And that's what we believe in. We believe in the triune Godhead, God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Then I invite you to turn to page 67 in your hymnal. And there is a responsive reading, which we will read responsively. I'll read the fine print, you read the bold print. It's entitled, We Praise You, O God. And at the bottom, typically they give you the reference of the person who wrote it, or the scripture reference where it came from. If you know what that means at the bottom, who that person is, or what it stands for, I invite you afterwards to come to me, and I'll have a conversation with you. I'll shake your hand and say, you're good. All right? But this is one of the great hymns of the early church. Before hymns were written, you know, Luther stuff, they were always chants, Gregorian chants in church. That's what they did. And so this is a great chant that comes from the Catholic tradition, the Catholic Church. What you see, well, I'm not going to tell you what this, see, I was going to tell you what that means at the bottom. But anyway, talk to me afterwards. But this is a great praise to God. We praise you, O God. So let's read this responsively. We praise you, O God. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise.
Holy, 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 Lord God, power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became incarnate to set us free, you humbly accepted the Virgin's womb.
You overcame the sin of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers.
You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come to be our judge.
Come then, Lord, and help your people. Bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting.
Let's pray. Father, we give you praise today. Thank you for these words that were written for us many, many, many years ago. But that's where we're at today. That's who we are today. We are your children. We are your disciples. We are your ambassadors. And Peter would even say that we are of the royal priesthood. And so, Father, today we give you praise. Thank you for your love for us, the blessings that you have given to us. We give you praise. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we offer our prayers today in His holy name. Amen. You may be seated. And we will give you the opportunity to worship. And giving tithes and offerings. This is an act of obedience. This is an act of worship, acknowledging that God has blessed you, and now you give back in blessings. So, Father, we do acknowledge the blessings that we have received, and now we freely give back to you. Accept our gifts, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Would you stand with us, please, as we begin with what a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore, on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
You may be seated. And how will we get to that day? This next song, His grace is sufficient.
Times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion, and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul, just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
Thank you.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Would you stand with us once again as we sing, He is Able.
More than able to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. Oh, He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be.
That's a great song. That's a great song of faith. If you don't have faith, you can't sing that song and mean it. That God is able. Is He really able to take care of your needs? Is He really able to take care of not your wants, but what you need? He's provided that already in His Son, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin. That's what we need. But yet, through the day, as challenges come our way, His Spirit is there to lead and guide us and to give us the power to make it through. It's a great song of faith. And I trust that that's where you're at this morning, that as you were singing that song, the words were coming from your heart. It's good to see Jerry back. You've been gone for 3-4 Sundays. And she's better. That's good. That's good. Yes. Pray for Lowell this morning. He had a little incident at Menards on Friday. Was in the emergency room for a little bit. They checked him out and sent him home. He was weak and a little dizzy yesterday, and that's lingering on today. And so let's pray for him. Prayer is a time of conversation with God, our Heavenly Father. So I don't know what you are concerned about in life. What are the challenges? What are the things that are on your plate? Things that are ahead for you this week, or maybe a rough spot in the road last week. I thank you for your prayers last Sunday. Prayer is a powerful thing. And God is so faithful to answer our prayers. So I invite you to come this morning to the altar and have a conversation with God, your Heavenly Father. But let's pray together and believe that God is a God who is able to take care of whatever the life issues are that are in front of us. And He does have the power. He can, with our cooperation, make us into what He wants us to be. And that's His children. He wants us to love Him, to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. So I invite you to pray pray this morning. Have a conversation with God. What do you want from God? What do you want from God? Have you told Him what you want? Yes, what you need. But maybe there's a spiritual want. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and you know that there's something that your spirit needs, and you want it. Bring that to God, our Heavenly Father, this morning as we pray. Father, thank you for giving to us a mind. Thank you for giving to us a voice. Thank you for giving us emotion, a spirit, a soul. Thank you for making yourself, revealing yourself in a real way to us. As I look back over my life, I see those spiritual markers in my life. Where I first realized that God is God. Not just a mystical figure, but God is God. And in that moment, forever and ever, you became real to me. And then as I've lived life, I look back and I can see those moments of time where you've heard my prayer, you've answered my prayer. And without a doubt, I know that it was you that answered that prayer. And so, Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for not just spinning the world into existence and waving at it and saying, hey, good luck. Hope you guys make it. But thank you, Father, for desiring to connect with us. Thank you for speaking through the prophets and the obedient servants of the Old Testament. Thank you, Father, for sending to us your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived. He lived like us. He was fully human, but yet fully God. Do we understand that? No. But we believe it. For Scripture tells us that that's the way it was. And so we by faith, believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. As Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for making yourself real to us. We do not have to live life just guessing and hoping that we've made the right choice in following you, but we know that we know that we know that you're a God who loves us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is our salvation, the forgiveness of sin. And then you sent an amazing thing, your Spirit, to speak to us, to lead us and guide us through these events of life. And sometimes the events of life are troubling. We don't know everything. We don't see the big picture. And so, Father, it brings us back to a moment of prayer where we give these issues, these concerns to you. And say, Father, help us. Help us make it through today. Or when tomorrow comes, help us make it through tomorrow. So, Father, this morning we as a congregation, some are kneeling at the altar and some are sitting in their pew and some are standing in reverence to you. Again, we know that you're a God who hears our prayers, and we bring our prayers to you today. We would ask that you be present with Lowell today. Restore him to health. We do lift up to you Jennifer today, and today's her 40th birthday. What a day. As family comes and visits her today to celebrate her birthday, we just pray that this is a good day for her. I will lift up Mike and the boys to you as well, as they're becoming caregivers for their mother. The roles have reversed. Let your love and peace reign in that whole household, we pray. And Father, we know that you've heard our prayers today. And so when we stand up or when we sit down, we go back to our places to sit, we go back with confidence knowing that you've heard our prayer. And we look forward to the answer to the prayer because we know and we believe that you are a God who is able. There isn't anything that you can't do. There isn't anything you can't do. For you've made us. You've given us life. You've given us breath. You've given us a spirit. And so, Father, we give it to you today. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for hearing our groans and our moans. When we can't speak words, Scripture tells us that you hear our hearts. Even in the moaning and groaning of life, you hear us. So, Father, we give you praise today. Thank you for the faith that you give to us, so that we can say with great confidence that we know that you are able. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing that song over again.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. Is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. Able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be.
Maybe seated. Think about your life. Think about your life and the words of that song. And as we were singing that for the second time, I reflected on my life. For many, many, many years, I did not want to be a pastor. My dad was, and that was good enough for me. But then, there comes a time where in your life where you have to be obedient, because God can get rather rough with you if you're not, if you don't want to pay attention. He can slap you around pretty good. Am I perfect? No, because He's still working on me. So anyway, I apologize if I'm not perfect in your eyes, but understand that I'm human just like you. So I'll forgive you and you forgive me. And we'll both someday become what God wants us to be, right? And that's loving each other and caring for each other. It's a great song. He is able. And I don't know for sure, But Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, writes these words: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That's a good word. That's a good word. God is able, isn't he? Well, we're back in John chapter 2 today, the first 11 verses of the second chapter of John's Gospel. And today, the picture that John is giving to us, that he's painting for us, is that Jesus is God's best, and he's the last. He's the best, and he's the last. As John is painting these pictures for us, and 2 weeks ago we covered the Lamb of God as a picture that John is painting for us, he does it with one purpose in mind, and he doesn't do it with the purpose of us looking at a picture and going, "Oh, look at the colors, look at the hues, look at all the, how we judge artwork." John is painting us a word picture of Jesus, and it goes beyond just art. He does it with a purpose, and he wants us to see Jesus Christ, God's Son, as the only answer to life's greatest needs. So as we move through this little series of John and the pictures of Jesus that John gives to us, it's more than, like it was 2 weeks ago, the Lamb of God. It's more than just a little cute little lamb running around in a field somewhere. It's the sacrifice of Jesus' life, that Lamb of God that was given to us. Our greatest needs of life can be found, the satisfaction of those needs can only be found in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ, God's Son. That Lamb of God was the sacrificial lamb. It was for the forgiveness of your sins, my sins. That certainly is our greatest need. But today we want to look at this chapter 2, those first 11 verses. And John wants us to see, again, Jesus as God's best and God's last. It's the story, it's the event of Jesus and his disciples and Mary, his mother, attending a wedding in Cana in Galilee. Probably a familiar story to most. There is, we'll just kind of walk through it, but if you want to take your Bibles and open to the second chapter of John, we'll walk through this passage of Scripture. The occasion certainly is a wedding. It's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It's a town not far from Nazareth. So for Jesus and his mother Mary and his disciples to make the trip to Nazareth was maybe a half a day to a day journey, Nazareth being Jesus' hometown. John doesn't tell us who the bride was or who the groom was. We don't know how Mary and Jesus and his disciples were connected to the couple. John gives us the important stuff. He gives us the important information. Jesus and his disciples and his mother, Jesus' mother Mary, have been invited to a wedding. That's the important event. And as we read Scripture and as you have dialogue with friends and you talk about events of Scripture, it is so easy to get sidetracked or distracted by debate or conversation about the insignificance of a particular event or passage of Scripture. And you could do the same thing with this. But today we're going to focus on the facts. We're going to say just what John has given for us, and we'll look at the facts. John tells us that the host ran out of wine. Now, I don't know about you, but if you ever had a party, if you ever hosted a party, an event, and you've run out of food, halfway through an event, you realize that you're out of chips and dip. Or maybe you have 6 bags of chip and somebody hogged all of the dip, and now where are you going to go with that? We have Wednesday night suppers here, second Wednesday of every month. We have a supper for the neighbors. And it's always one of my concerns is that there's going to be a Wednesday night when all of you have invited somebody to come to the supper, and they've all said yes, and we gather here on a Wednesday night, where people drive by and they see the sign that says Wednesday night supper, everybody's invited, and we have 80 to 100 people here on a Wednesday night. Now that would be a great hallelujah moment. That'd be like, wow, this is pretty cool. But when you have food for only 50 or 60, that's not very good. What are you going to say? Now, if it's a soup night, that's okay. We just add water to the soup, thin it out, and hand out extra crackers. Okay? That's what you do. So if you're having somebody over, just fix soup. It's easy to make it stretch. But it's tough to do if you're serving chicken or pizza or whatever. You understand. But this is the setting. This man is the host of a wedding. And all of a sudden, they've run out of beverage. Wow. So if it's ever happened to you, you can empathize with the man that's the host of this event. In our world, a wedding would last 3 to 6 hours. We attended a wedding where it was at 1 o'clock. Service was over in 45 minutes. The reception didn't start until the dinner, 6 or 6:30, and then they went to midnight. That's a long, in our world, that's a long time. 3 to 6 hours typically a wedding in our world today. Do you know that the Jewish, traditional Jewish wedding that this probably was, it is nothing for that kind of a wedding to last 3 to 6 days. Now imagine that you're the host. Can you imagine having to go to Cashwise or Cub Food and buying food for who knows how many people are going to show up for 3 to 6 days? If you ran out of chips, you'd just say, now go home. Party over. But that's not the case here. This is not what happens. And Mary, Jesus' mother, hears that the wine is gone. Now, for me, that's just a little tickle thought. Don't mothers know everything? They can be talking to you in conversation. They can hear 4 conversations going on around them. So imagine Mary was having this great conversation with one of her friends, maybe a relative that was involved in the wedding, and she hears a distant conversation. Hey, we're out of drinks. We're out of wine. And so she picks up on that. Oh, they're out of wine. They're out of juice. And she goes and she tells Jesus of the situation. We can assume, but I say very confidently that, Mary had faith in her son to take care of the need. She was indirect in the information, the request. She really didn't even make a request for help. She simply said they have no more wine. Isn't that like a mother? Not asking you to do something, but when they tell you something, you're supposed to know what the next step is. There's a bag of garbage in the hallway. Okay. Is it okay if it just stays there? No. It has to go to the... Okay. I do the same thing. I come home. End of the day. If Cynthia's had the afternoon off, I'll walk in the house. I'm hungry. I haven't asked for any food. I've just made an indirect comment about my hunger. She could say, yep. Go sit on the couch. You know, we'll take care of it sometime. So here's Mary making one of these comments. They have no more wine. It's not a request for help, but it is a statement that implies a need. And certainly Jesus could have said, yeah, Mom, that's too bad. They're out. I'm going to get the disciples and we're going to go home. The party's over for us. But that's not Jesus, because Jesus, knowing his mother, knowing that she knows that the host of the party is in trouble, knew that he was being asked to do something to make things better. Mary, knowing her son, simply turned to the servants. That's interesting, the servants. And said, do whatever he tells you to do. Now, this is a thought of mine that comes to my mind. How did Mary know that Jesus could take care of this? Is it possible? Now I'm going to throw out one of these things, and we're not going to debate it too long. I'll just throw something out there for you to think about. Is it possible that in the house with Mary and Joseph that Jesus had performed miracles for them? And so in this event, Mary, knowing that there is help, something, there's a problem, she simply turns to Jesus and says, hey, they're out of line. Then she turns to the servants and says, do whatever he asks you to do. Jesus said, why do you want to get me involved in this? My time has not yet come. See, his public ministry, his public miracles hadn't happened yet. And we believe that this is the first of his miracles, public miracles that he was involved in. It's interesting, again, a mother's response, as only mothers can do. Her words to the servants were just, do what he tells you to do. And in saying that, she was indirectly again saying to her son, Jesus, your time is now. Your time is now. Jesus said, well, my time has not come yet. But Mary being his mother, and I believe knowing her son as a Christ, as the Son of God, said, your time has come. It's now. It is amazing how subtle and direct God can speak to us through those that are around us. Have a conversation with a fellow believer and listen to the conversation. Listen for God speaking to you through the voice of those that are around you. They will put more confidence in you. They will be the encourager to you that you need to do something that God has already asked you to do. And you will know that. And you will know that that encouragement and that voice is coming, yes, from your friend, but it's coming from God who's already told you what you need to do. In verse 11, let me just read verse 11 for you. This, the first of his miraculous signs. It's interesting that John doesn't even call it a miracle. He just calls it a miraculous sign. Jesus performed at Galilee, in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. What did he do by doing the miracle? He revealed his glory. He revealed his lordship. And his disciples put their faith in him. That's the purpose of the miracle, that the disciples would leave the event putting their faith in Jesus Christ. It's a nice little story, 11 verses. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts to paint the picture of who Jesus is. Jesus knew the situation and he took charge. Jesus saw the situation. Somebody's in need. It's not a big need. The guy could have probably sent his servants out somewhere to buy more stuff, more wine, whatever. But Jesus knew the situation, and taking his mother's advice, the servants were ready to help. Now, I don't want to make any comments about wine, but I am going to say this. The quantity was anywhere, we're guessing, 120 to 180 gallons. That's a lot. Okay? The jars that they filled were for ceremonial cleaning, and the Jews were all about cleaning. Before they could pray, before they went in their homes, they washed their feet, they did ceremonial cleaning. Read the Old Testament stories of the law, and you will find that they were... Cynthia's father used to always tell her girls, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Almost think he was part Jewish or something. But anyway, he was always washing their hands. So this water, these jars were used for that, and now they're empty. Or maybe they were still full, we don't know. And Jesus said, go fill them. Go fill them. You are in a Nazarene church. So let me just say, make this statement about wine, okay? And alcohol in general. We are a church that believes that the best way to not get in trouble with alcohol is to don't partake at all. Okay? And so we teach that. That's one of our beliefs. It's the best way to handle alcohol is just to say no thank you and push it aside. I had a conversation just this week with one of our church leaders, and this issue came up, and it is it's a big one, because we cannot take you to any place in Scripture that says don't drink alcohol, okay? Because there are references to things like this and other things in Scripture. The Bible will definitely speak against and talk about being drunk, having wine in excess, those kinds of comments. We take that to the extreme and say, if you don't want to do it, or if you don't want to get a DUI, then just don't drink. If you don't want to go home and kick the dog, just don't drink. If you don't want to go home and get in a fight with your wife, just don't drink. If you don't want to get beat up by your wife, just make sure she doesn't drink. Okay? So that's the simple, we are very simple-minded when it comes to some aspects of Scripture. We just say, don't do it. It's the easiest thing. Easiest thing to teach our children about sex. If you don't want to have babies, well, then don't. There are some pretty simple things in life that we can't handle. And so we choose not to, and then we can get in trouble if we go the other way. So that's us. You're in the Nazarene Church, and I thought I'd share that thought with you so you leave here today knowing where we are and what we teach and what we practice. Another thing that Jesus did in this miracle is that he let the servants be servants. Now that's a big deal. That's a big deal here. Jesus can do anything, right? We just sang a song. He is able. He can do anything, right? Jesus could have seen the six empty jugs, 20 to 30 gallons each, and Jesus could have just gone over there and looked at them and went, okay, I think I fixed the problem, and let people find out that now they were full of wine. Jesus could have made the container that they had the wine in just never run out. There's a story in the Old Testament of the prophet and the woman who had the oil. And the prophet said, go to the houses and get jars, fill them with oil, and you're going to sell the oil. Well, the jars never ran out. God can do anything. Jesus could have taken care of the problem all by himself, but he didn't. What did he do? He turned to the servants. He didn't turn to his disciples. He turned to the servants and let the servants be servants. The work was done by those who do the work, those who serve. Jesus certainly performed the miracle, but the work was done by those who serve. Jesus let them also be there to hear and to see the praise of the miracle that had been performed. The guest comes to the host of the party and goes, wow, what about this? You've saved the best for last? That's unheard of. So Jesus was there. He performed the miracles. The servants, his disciples, those that were in the event, saw and heard what Jesus had done for them. Jesus is a humble spirit. He calls us to be a humble spirit. He will give us certain things to do. We are his servants. When he gives us something to do we do it? Or do we look excuses? We look for a door to walk out? Jesus wants us to serve, and so he will give us opportunities to serve. Could he do it without us? Sure he could. But he chose not to, and he chooses not to even today. And so Jesus will call on us to serve, and when he does, we need to serve. Just like he gave these servants the opportunity to do what they do. Jesus is God's best. God's best gift that he's ever given to us. And he shows it in this event. Now, there have been a lot of prophets of the Old Testament, and there were some pretty good people in the Old Testament. Moses, Abraham, the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, some pretty good people. But they were just human. In Jesus, God gave to us His best. He gave to us His Son. Listen to Hebrews. Let me find this passage for you. I want to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 1. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. God gave to us His Son. He gave to us His best. His best spokesman, the best person to demonstrate God's love, not only to the host of the event, the bride and the groom, and to everybody that was there. Jesus gives us that for us today as well. Jesus is God's best. He's also the last. Do you know that God doesn't have another plan for the forgiveness of sins? There isn't. God's not going to come out. He's not going to revise the plan. He's not going to come out and say, well, you guys didn't get it 2,000 years ago. 1,500 years ago, you didn't get it. You didn't get it yesterday, so I guess I'm going to come out with a new plan. A new and improved Savior. A new and improved atonement for sins. He's not doing that. He's not going to do that. He will never do that. His best gift to us and His last gift to us is Jesus Christ, His Son. And in this picture that John paints for us, chapter 2, this changing the water into wine, wine or the juice, it's the fruit of the vine, is the symbol for blood. We served communion last Sunday. What did I tell you? What are the instructions given when you hold the cup of juice in your hand? It's a symbol of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol. Blood is life. Without blood, none of us would be here. You cut an artery, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to try to stop the bleeding so that you would live. Jesus, in this miracle, in this story that John has given to us, created a new wine. In His life and in the shed blood, He gives you and He gives me new life. He gives them new wine, wine that they had never tasted before. It was the best. I would imagine that for many days, many weeks, many months probably after this, people would talk about the sweet taste of the wine that Jesus had given to them. But Jesus gives to us more than just a sweet tasting drink. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is represented in this new wine, is also the new life that He gives to us. It's a gift that God provides to us. It's His best gift. It's His last gift that He gives to us, His Son, Jesus Christ. John paints for us this picture. He gives to us this picture of Jesus. Jesus and His disciples and His mother and others at this wedding. And it's more than just a wedding. It's an introduction to the new covenant. It's an introduction of Jesus' public ministry, of the miracles that John will continue to tell us about. And in this event, it tells us that the glory of Jesus was revealed to His disciples, and His disciples put their faith in Him. And that's what miracles do. As Jesus went around and performed miracles, some people came just for the miracles, but there were others that saw the glory of Jesus. His true nature was shown to them. The nature, the Son of God, was revealed. God has given to us the best. He's given to us His Son, Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning that He will not revise the plan for the forgiveness of sin. It is contained in His Son, Jesus Christ. Whether you believe it or not, don't wait for God to come out with a second plan. His plan has already been revealed to us, and it is in His Son, Jesus Christ. When did you put your faith in Jesus? The disciples could go back to this moment. John's recorded it for us, that it was at this moment that the disciples put their faith in Him. Is there a moment in your life where you can go back and say, oh yeah, it was on this particular day, this particular event, where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, His best gift, His last gift, really became real to me? I had to do a little exercise on Tuesday morning at the retreat that I was at. And that was the instruction for us, is to go back and reflect on your life. Where's your life journey taken to you? What are the moments in time where you can look at it and say, yep, that was God revealing Himself to me. I believe in Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there a moment like that in your life where the light bulb came on, where you went like, wow, God is God? That you really believe that you believe? And more than just believing, you know that you know that you know that you believe? Have you had that moment in your life? I pray that you have. I pray that you have. I want to invite you to stand this morning, and I'm going to say a prayer. And if you have never, ever encountered Jesus in such a way that you, when after His voice spoke to you, that you, like the disciples, would say, wow, I'm going to put my faith in this person, this man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I invite you to pray this morning along with me. I invite you to just invite Christ into your life. He is God's best gift to us. There isn't anything better. The best sunrise, the best sunset. Go look at the Grand Canyon. Go anywhere you want. Be the first person to step foot on Mars. Whatever. But you're never going to experience anything better than God's Son, Jesus Christ. And again, He's not going to come around with a revised plan. You either will accept His Son or you won't. And that's the end of the story. The disciples said, yes, we believe. Let's pray. Father, this morning we read John's Gospel. And what a great event. We all love weddings. Unless they last 3 to 6 days, and then we might think otherwise. But yet, what a story. Jesus Christ, your Son, is there, and He hears of a need. And He takes care of it. He asks workers around Him to do something, and in doing it, Jesus steps in and turns the water to wine. What an amazing miracle. But thank you, Father, for this picture that tells us of the events to come later on in John's Gospel, of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the new life that we can experience through that shed blood, represented by the wine here in this particular miracle. Father, in your presence this morning, we believe in you. And I pray for anyone here this morning who lacks that faith. They can't sing the song that He is able. They've never experienced it. And Father, I pray that right now they are praying to you, that they pray to you and ask for the forgiveness of sin, that you would create in them a new life, that they would make the choice this morning to follow you and you only. For you have given to us the way, the truth, and the life. And that's through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, let your Spirit speak to us today. And yes, you are able. Through the forgiveness of sin, through your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us through life, to make us what you want to make us, and that would be your children. Accepting this gift that you've given to us, your Son, Jesus Christ, experiencing the forgiveness of sin. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. May we experience new faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, today. And we offer our prayers in His holy name. Amen. Go and be blessed, and we will see you tonight if you choose to come back. Jennifer's birthday is today. I sent her a message before the service asking if we could sing happy birthday to her via phone. And I haven't heard an answer back, but hang on a second. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to call over there. Or we could go caroling. Anybody want to go caroling? Hang on a second. I'll call her. And then I want everybody to sing happy birthday. I'll put you on speakerphone. If it goes to her voicemail, we will just sing happy birthday and she can listen to it later.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Jennifer Hahn
is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To send it back, press 4 now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jennifer. Happy birthday to you.
God bless. We miss you. Love you. Have a great day. Bye. Thank you.